Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown out there on the edge of the prairie. It's November, almost to November. November, here we are. And on Sunday, we fall back. We get an extra hour on early Sunday morning. So there'll be a large number of people coming in late to church. Hope they're not too embarrassed. Hope they don't miss the sermon. Cold weather moving in, winter, it's what we're known for here in Minnesota, so we may as well embrace it. When you tell people you're from Minnesota, they think for a moment, and then they say, 9 times out of 10, they say, it gets cold there. Which it does, but it also gets cold in San Francisco in June, actually, and very cold on the west side of Manhattan, along the Hudson, bitterly cold. I was in Paris once in January. It was just ferociously cold. But as cold as it was, the city was still beautiful. It was still Paris. And we don't associate Paris with weather at all. We associate it with painters and with writers. Well, Minnesota has writers as well. Sinclair Lewis came from here, and F. Scott Fitzgerald, Bob Dylan came from here. The problem is that they all left as soon as they could and were kind of sheepish about having been born here in Minnesota. They made up other stories about themselves. They left because you can't be a genius when you live with your relatives. Your relatives are never going to recognize you as a genius. They're going to look on you as somebody who has a hard time holding down a steady job. But you can go off to Los Angeles or New York and you can fall in with a little coterie of writers who regard each other as geniuses. And if you will go along with that, they will allow you to be a genius as well. You stay in Minnesota and you're going to be around your relatives, and it won't take you long to find similarities between them and you that are disconcerting. And so that's why that is. F. Scott Fitzgerald left here as soon as he could, as soon as he published his first novel. He went off to New York, and then he went off to Paris, where he became a serious alcoholic and where he wrote 2 novels that not many people wanted to read, and where he really messed up his daughter, and where his wife had an affair with a Frenchman. I mean, what kind of a deal is that? But, you know, that's what he thought he was supposed to do. No, you got to get out of here if you want to be a genius. But if you love ordinary life, then there's no place better. And when does it get more ordinary than in winter, which is our season? People go south to get away from winter, thinking it's some sort of tribulation, but it's not. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's God's gift to bring out the best in us. And it's like this show. I mean, you coming here to see this show. I don't usually talk this much. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. I'm not a big talker at all. I'm from Minnesota. I'm a good listener. But you know, people don't come to a theater to watch somebody listen. And so I'm extending myself, you see, because of this challenge, as we all do in the winter. We cling close to each other. We spend more time with each other. We sit down, we have coffee. It goes on and on because we're in no rush to leave, because why would you? And we savor our food, and we savor each other in the winter, and we are cheerful in the winter. There's no choice, really. You complain about the cold when it's in the 50s. When it gets to be 10 below, you don't complain about that. That would be ridiculous. It'd be like going outdoors at midnight and complaining that it's dark. Adversity brings out the best in you, and you become a cheerful person. We savor our food in Lake Wobegon. It's a meat and potatoes town. and people sit down and dig in because it's winter and you need extra ballast in order to keep your footing. And should you be stranded in your car because it flips over and you're hanging there from your seatbelts in a very deep ditch for a week at a time, you want extra, carry a little extra around with you. There are fabulous cooks in Lake Wobegon. They make the best gravy you've ever had, and some of us are carrying a lot of that gravy around with us. Whereas in the city, you know, you go to a restaurant because nobody cooks, and you get this little tiny entree on an enormous white plate with a swirl of liquefied avocado around it on a bed of gluten-free basmati rice, and you sit and peck at it because there's an obligation in the big city to remain thin and attractive long into late middle age in case this marriage breaks up. You'd be able to attract somebody for the next one. Whereas in Lake Wobegon, putting on weight is a form of commitment, you see. And that's just who we are. We're joke tellers. We still tell jokes. They don't tell jokes in the city, and I'll tell you why. It's because a joke is a bridge from you to somebody who has every reason to dislike you or disagree with you. It's a bridge to that person to connect your basic mutual humanity, you and another person. But in the city, people don't want to be around or live near people who disagree with them. Conservatives want to live with conservatives. Liberals want to live with liberals. The last Republican mayor of St. Paul was George Vavilis. That was in the early 60s. And the same here in Minneapolis. P. Kenneth Peterson was the last Republican elected mayor of this city. Right now, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the cities vote about 80% Democratic. Democrats don't want to be with Republicans. Republicans don't want to be with Democrats. And so what do people do when they get together? They talk politics. And they rag on people who are not there. This is the least promising subject of conversation there is. It's bitter and it's ugly. And I prefer Lake Wobegon, where they tell jokes, the old men sitting in the corner of the Chatterbox Cafe, shaking the dice to see who will buy the coffee. They sit there. And if you joined them and you waited your turn to tell your joke, and you told it right, you'd get a lot of credit in this town. The last joke I heard, Lake Wobegon, had to do with a Christian. We joke about the most important things, about death and faith and love, passion. An atheist said to a Christian, "There's no God, there's no afterlife, there's no heaven. Anybody who thinks so is just stupid." And the Christian said, "Well, let me ask you this about grass. Animals eat grass, deer eat grass, horses, cows. But the deer excrete small blackish pellets. And cows excrete these large liquidy pies. And horses excrete these soft lumps. Why, when they all eat grass, are their excretions so different?" The atheist said, "I have no idea." The Christian said, "Well, how can you talk about God if you don't know?" That's my town, Lake Wobegon.